Just like pet owners like to tell stories about their pets, Oregon seems to like talking about wolves a lot, and there is much to talk about. The long tail of OR7, a radio-collared wolf, took an interesting turn this spring when wildlife workers confirmed that OR7 did find a mate after all, and she bore pups this year. These are the first wolf pups born west of the Cascade Mountains in a very, very long time, and just the latest landmark in wolf recovery in the region. Let's talk progress on wolf recovery with Russ Morgan, who's the Wolf Program Coordinator for the Oregon State Department of Fish and Wildlife. Russ, thanks for joining us once again.
Good morning.
You know, from the perspective of somebody who looks at the headlines on a daily basis, it seems like there's never a dull moment in wolf management. What does it look like from your side?
Well, there is, and you know, and there is a tremendous amount of public interest in wolves, and much of that interest comes from two pretty opposite perspectives. And there's folks out there that very much like wolves and like to know about them and hear about them and keep track of events associated with them. And then, of course, there's other folks that don't like them so well, especially when we deal with livestock issues. So I of course function in that world in between both of those.
And trying to make sure that both sides get something like what they want, it sounds like.
Yeah,
too.
Exactly.
So give us a little history lesson here. How long has Oregon had a wolf program?
Well, we've had a wolf program since 2006. 2005 was the year that we originally passed the Oregon Wolf Plan, and then my position came into existence shortly after that. And so really, everything that has happened in Oregon has happened in the last few years. And, of course, you know, Oregon has seen a pretty dramatic change on the wolf front, you know, just in the last 3 or 4 years especially.
And again, for the folks who might be catching up to the story, there were no wolves actually placed in Oregon, correct? They were actually exterminated in Oregon.
That's correct. There were no known wild wolves in Oregon, and no wolves have actually been brought physically into Oregon. All of the wolves that we have, most of those, of course, are in northeast Oregon. All of those originally had come from the reintroduced population in Idaho, based on our genetic work that we do on wolves we capture.
So they got across the Snake River and other obstacles and set up shop in Oregon.
Yeah, and of course, at the time, experts kind of predicted that the Snake River would not likely be a barrier, and of course, those experts are proven correct now, and we see regular travels of wolves back and forth across the Snake River.
You know, we've been watching with interest as the listeners in California are watching what happens in their state, where there actually are no wolves at this point. OR7 did wander across the state line for a while, but then returned, and then California gave protection to gray wolves. Oregon, was the process of trying to catch up to what was going on with the wolves similar on the Oregon side?
Well, it really was. Some folks may remember a wolf called B-45, which came to Oregon in 1999, and that wolf really, that was from Idaho, and that was really the first wolf from the reintroduced population. And the reaction to that wolf at that time was very similar to the reaction that California had experienced just a year and a half ago when OR7 was in their state.
So again, it's the two ends of things. You get a real concern from people who own livestock and a real awe, isn't that cute, from the people who want wildlife back.
Sure, there really is. And really there's sort of a reality, I think, that people sort of settle into over time with wolves. And the fact of it is we have wolves in Oregon and they're expanding both distribution and abundance. They'll probably continue to do that, at least for the near term.
Has the wolf program, granted it's just been around since 06, so we're talking about 8 years now, has it been more or less left alone, free of a lot of legislative tampering? I mean, have you been able to set your own rules and guidelines and conduct the program, or is there a political influence from the outside that factors
well,
into it?
Well, certainly with wolf management in every state in the western U.S., politics do play a heavy role and public policy and perception play a heavy role, and so they're kind of intertwined, I suppose. And the fact of it is wolf management generally doesn't just occur on its own accord. It's not just about wolves themselves. It's also about the landscape in which we live and the people and how people are settled on this landscape, and then of course the interaction of wolves on that. And that sort of by default brings the social equation in and. Realistically, most of our wolf management program in Oregon spends a lot of, at least most of our resources are spent on some of these social issues, livestock being one, of course, and that's a high-profile one when wolves do eat livestock.
In a sense, I guess you're interfacing more with people than with wolves.
Very much so, yes.
Mm-hmm. Lots of meetings, lots of open houses, things.
Lots of meetings, lots of open houses, and I often jokingly talk about how most about 90% of wolf management really doesn't have a whole lot to do with wolves themselves. The wolves are simple, and their biology really isn't that complex. But the issues around wolves and having them and the complexities is very difficult.
So the wolves are going to do what the wolves are going to do, and the people have to deal with
that.
That's correct. Yeah, you have to guide them in that way.
Right.
Russ Morgan's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's the Wolf Program Coordinator for the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 or at 541-552-6782 or by email at jx@jeffnet.org. So, Russ, based on the goals and the guidelines that were laid out at the beginning of the wolf management program, how's the state doing?
Well, our wolves are increasing. That, from a conservation standpoint, that's expected and a good thing. And they're not just increasing in number, but they're also expanding in distribution. Most of our wolves are still in Northeast Oregon, in really the three northeasternmost counties of Northeast Oregon. And then, of course, now with OR7 that you mentioned in the Southern Oregon Cascades, that sort of opens that distribution up even more, and likely there are other wolves in between the two. And so, you know, our wolves are continuing to increase and recover.
What is the total number that we're aware of? What's the general guess on wolf population? Obviously, they're not all collared, so you can't track them all.
Right, and they are a secretive large carnivore, and they're difficult to count and collar. That's why we use the radio collars, so that we can try to get some information. We count these wolves once a year. Essentially, an official count is done at the end of each calendar year. And at the end of this last year, 2013, we could account for 64 wolves in 8 packs. And we don't know today the exact number because, of course, wolves have pups around mid-April. And so there's undoubtedly reproduction and other wolves that we haven't accounted for. But that's a minimum number because it's information that we actually have. We don't report on any wolves that we don't know, so we acknowledge that there's likely other wolves as well in other areas of the state. And, of course, OR7's dispersal into the Cascades sort of represents that there could very well be other wolves that have done the same thing that don't have a collar.
Which is why I think a lot of casual observers assumed that OR7 was going to be lonely for a very long time. I mean, you folks who know wolves pretty well, were you surprised that he found a mate as quickly and, I won't say easily, but as quickly as he did?
No, not really surprised at all. Wolves have maybe one of the most impressive abilities to find each other that I've ever seen in any wildlife species. At the same time, I think it's important to note that OR7 may have stayed as just the proverbial lone wolf his entire life. Many wolves do and wander around and really just function on their own. But they, in cases where other wolves show up, they do have an ability to find each other that's really unparalleled.
Let us take some calls here. We have Dennis and Eugene on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking to Russ Morgan, Oregon's Wolf Program Coordinator.
Hi. Say, just as I have a question, but I wanted to say I'm an outdoorsman, a native Oregonian, and in the 50s, I used to hunt a lot in the Davis Lake area, and I saw a wolf over in that area a number of times. And so there's been wolves, I think, here in Oregon.
Sure. I think that's a great question, Dennis, or a great comment. And the reason is because wolves travel in incredible distances. It just, in fact, the OR7 would be the most contemporary example of a wolf that was born right near the Oregon-Idaho border, traveled nearly to Sacramento. Well, if you put that distance on a map, you really can get that kind of movement in wolves from other areas. And so even though Oregon has not had an extant wolf population for many years, that does not mean it's not the same as not having any wolves at all, because wolves can and do travel. We just had a wolf go all the way to Missoula, Montana. And so wolves from other populations can be in any area. And I get a lot of reports from people that will talk about, in the 60s or 70s having seen a wolf. And some of those are very valid, and they could be just traveling wolves. But what we don't know of is an actual population, a reproducing population. And that's the difference between the two. So I don't doubt at all that there have been individual wolves, or maybe even more than that in history. We just don't know of a population.
So no packs in Oregon, certainly. And for how long, how many decades was that?
Well, the last, wolves really were last really accounted for, I suppose, in the 40s. And of course, there's been a number of accounts of since then, an individual wolf or a track or something like that has been seen. So and the caller kind of referenced a thing. And interestingly, we start to see wolves show back up in some of these same areas where people had seen them in the past, too. So,
all right. Thanks for the call, Dennis. Let's go to Paul in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Russ Morgan from Oregon Fish and Wildlife.
Hello. I guess my question is, what is the anticipated impact as the wolf population increases in Oregon on the game animals like deer and elk?
Sure. It's a fair question. Wolves are a large carnivore, and we have other large carnivores in Oregon as well. And so it is important. And deer and elk are primary prey species for wolves, I think most people know. We have a couple of species of deer, especially in northeast Oregon, with mule deer and white-tailed deer. And then, of course, elk, which are a primary prey species. And so those are important species to the state and to hunters, especially of the state, but all people, really. And so it's difficult to know impacts, and certainly we haven't had wolves any length of time that start to mathematically add up to great deals of impact. We haven't seen most of the areas where wolves have settled into in northeast Oregon or places that have pretty robust game populations. You know, I think time will tell, and certainly that's something that we will be monitoring over the years. You know, what is that impact, and how do wolves affect these other carnivore species, especially cougars as well? But it's difficult to know right now. We haven't seen a lot of impact where these wolves show up, but of course, some of those things don't happen in the near term either. They happen over the long term.
Paul, thanks for that call. So Russ, I guess this begs the question about if there's the beginning of any sort of concern, even if it's off on the horizon, something on the radar now about communities like Ashland, where there's just so much greenery, people have fine gardens and they don't want to hurt the deer. And so the deer move around in fairly large packs. You'll see up to five at a time crossing the main drag right in the heart of the day. If there's concerns about wolves following them.
Well, not necessarily. I think carnivores in general, wolves are really no different. You know, it's the fact that they do follow prey, and wolves can be around populated areas that have high game populations. So certainly wolves, and in fact, even in northeast Oregon, we have some couple of our packs that spend a lot of time in proximity to people in development or houses and things like that, and that's because there is prey. But, you know, that's really no different than other carnivores as well.
Let's take another call. Here's Nicole in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Russ Morgan, Oregon's Wolf Program Coordinator.
Oh, hello. Thank you for taking my call. I guess I'm very pro-wolf, I know I am, and I'm pro-wildlife, and I really feel that wolves should be left alone, not really collared and trapped, and it's because it's really not for the benefit of the wolves, it's for the benefit of the ranchers who fear them so much for their livestock or profess to. And these same ranchers love their dogs. If it weren't for wolves, they wouldn't have dogs. And there's so few wolves, and they've been totally exterminated, obviously, or they were until they came back. And that's liable to happen again because the hunter and the rancher population is so adamant about wolves, no wolves. And
All right, Nicole.
I really think that's not correct.
All right. Thank you, Nicole.
You bring up a number of really it's a complex picture that you bring up, and it's a good one because the fact is Oregon is a fairly developed landscape. So it's different than what wolves were here originally. And really, you know, when we talk about wolf management, we're really talking about conservation on one hand. That's now, while there isn't very many wolves and they're increasing. But over time, with a developed landscape, undoubtedly there'll be more and more places where wolves are around humans. We start to see conflict. So it's a complex picture, and I have to say to the listeners, you know, when we do have issues with wolves and things that we do, like raise livestock or other animals, you know, those are very real issues that we still have to address and can't ignore. The collaring part is an important part. The other part of your statement is important because these are secretive carnivores, and so when we're able to talk about OR7, for example, we would never know that wolf is there had it not been for that collar. And so the collars really are a way to see how we are doing in our conservation goals and our recovery goals.
All right. Well, obviously a lot to talk about every time we talk to you about wolves in Oregon. Russ Morgan is the Wolf Program Coordinator for the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
You're very welcome.